Dr. Jim Keeney, Health and Medicine Podcast, brought to you from
San Clemente, California,
at jim.md.
More fun than a colonoscopy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Keeney, and today we're going to talk about all the hubbub about kids' cold medications. Lately, there's been a lot of scrutiny there by the FDA, and after hearing the news, you might be thinking, what? Cold medicines don't work? Well, that is a common reaction I hear, although I also hear a lot of moms say, don't you have anything you can write me a prescription for? None of these things over-the-counter seem to work. You know, if the studies say they don't work, and some parents are telling me they don't work, then we should probably have a good handle on what the downside is for these medicines. In the last 8 years, nearly a million calls have been made to poison control centers related to cold preparations. And a recent CDC report identified over 1,500 ER visits for children less than two that were given cough and cold medications. So, wow, maybe these medications aren't so benign after all. Today we're going to talk about these medications, what they contain, which ingredients are dangerous for kids, what you can do to treat your toddler or infant if they have a cold. And to give additional perspective, later I want to talk to Dr. Ken Kwan, a board-certified pediatrician and emergency medicine physician. Dr. Kwan's a good friend of mine. He's also one of my partners, and he is the director of pediatric emergency medicine at the University of California, Irvine Medical Center. And he's the co-director of pediatric emergency medicine at Chalk at Mission. Cold preparations are a basket of many different ingredients. So before we go too far, let's talk about what those ingredients are. In general, you have decongestants, antihistamines, and what we call antitussives or cough medicine. Because these three can be combined in various ways under various brand names, you'll notice a large aisle dedicated to cold preparations in your local pharmacy. Americans buy about 1 million packages of this stuff a year. Here's where we run into part of the problem. There's no standardization for any of these formulas. So one tablespoon of brand X might be just right for little Johnny, but one tablespoon of brand Y may be an overdose. Also, brand X may be labeled for cough, but contain a decongestant as well. And brand Y may be labeled as a decongestant, but contain cough medicine. So even when given correctly, but given together, little Johnny may receive a dangerous overdose of these medications. A lot of people say, well, what are the effects of an overdose? Maybe I don't mind if my kid is a little bit too sleepy at night. It kind of helps me out. I get a little extra sleep. The problem is that rare complications can be life-threatening. And in children under six, studies have linked decongestants to irregular heartbeat and other kind of cardiac events. Antihistamines have been shown to cause hallucinations, and cough medicines can cause confusion and abnormal brain function. The FDA identified 123 deaths over the past few decades in children under six. So not a big number, but what number is acceptable if the medicine actually gives little or no benefit? Now, regarding dosing, how do you think the companies came to the recommendations that are listed on the side of the bottle? People believe it's extensive studies in kids that determine safe and effective levels? Heck no. They took established adult doses, and an FDA advisory panel way back in 1976 recommended dosing be based on this following crude formula. For kids 6 to 11, one half the adult dose. For kids 2 to 5, one quarter of the adult dose. And for kids under 2, they were just required to state, consult a doctor before use. Now, that last little statement allowed a loophole for marketing to all age groups, because technically, this can be marketed to all age groups as long as you consult a doctor, even in children under 2. You know, and that reminds me of another thing that really irks me about the mass marketing of these preparations. The term pediatrician recommended. It's across all of these things, and it implies that most pediatricians would recommend their use in all children. And this is absolutely untrue, especially for children under 2. Companies continue to market nighttime formulas, and that implies you should use these medications to sedate your kids at night. You know, we're going to speak to Dr. Kwan in just a minute, and I'd like to hear what he has to recommend on that. Okay, bear with me for a second for some quick technical notes. A lot of these preparations sound the same, but are actually very different. And some preparations changed formulas after phenylpropanolamine was linked to strokes in kids and adults. And that used to be the active ingredient in Dimetapp, and it, in my opinion, it worked very well. But it was removed from the market 2 years ago. Now, the problem is Dimetapp still exists, but like many preparations, it contains a very weak decongestant called phenylephrine. So some of you may think you're using the same Dimetapp that you took as a kid, but actually, it's a totally different chemical now. Another P word, pseudoephedrine. Now, that's a decongestant that works. The problem is, well, actually, there's two problems. Number one, it makes kids hyper, so they don't necessarily sleep well when they're on the medication. Number two, it's the main ingredient in methamphetamine production. Because of this, the law has required that it's taken off the shelves and placed behind the counter of your local pharmacy. Drug companies know that shelf placement is key. A lot of them remove this ingredient to allow placement on the shelves up front so that you can see their product as soon as you walk in. If you're really draining and you want to get dried up, you need to go to the pharmacist and ask him to hand you a pseudoephedrine-containing preparation from behind the counter. Kind of like you're treated as a criminal, your ID is going to get checked and you have to be over a certain age to purchase this. And the purchase is recorded in case you're stocking up for your meth lab. With that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Ken Kwan. This guy is very well trained, board certified in both pediatrics and emergency medicine. I'm very interested in his perspective on this subject. Dr. Kwan, welcome and thanks for taking the time to speak with our listeners. What's your take on all this media coverage regarding cold preparations in kids?
First of all, I think that the information that's out there, it might be a little bit blown out of proportion. I think what this all stems from initially is the fact that there's been a lot of reported deaths and overdoses over the past several years as related to overdosing on these over-the-counter medications. And what's happened is there's been a push nationally to try to find out if these drugs are even work in kids. And what's interesting with these drugs is that these over-the-counter cough and cold medications, they've done some studies in the past, but most of them have been on adults. And when the rules on over-the-counter medications became more restrictive about 20 or 30 years ago, some of these medications that were made before then didn't really fit into the new stringent guidelines by the Food and Drug Administration. So they weren't under the same sort of stricter guidelines and studies that were required as some of these newer medications are. And so what has happened over the years is that the people that have made or marketed these products saying that they are safe for children is really just based on extrapolation from adult data.
So what happens, though, when kids take these drugs? What can happen to them?
There are some potential side effects. They could become drowsy. They could potentially have some breathing difficulties. And I think those are the two main concerns about what these drugs can potentially cause as far as side effects. And we don't really know how effective they are in kids. And there is a push that they should really not be used in kids, or at least in young kids, until more studies are done. And I think that that's a good policy to follow.
They put Sudafed behind the counters because apparently that was causing problems in young kids.
Yes, and also the fact that the Sudafed is actually easily made or one of the components for methamphetamines, and so they've taken them behind the counter and restricted their use. This isn't something new that's been done. A few years ago, there was another over-the-counter ingredient called phenylpropanolamine, which was used in a lot of cough and cold medications as well as in some diet pills. And that was actually shown to cause an increased risk of stroke. And so they actually took that off of the ingredients on all the cough and cold medications. And so that happened several years ago. And I think they've just kind of continued to further investigate these drugs or as far as how effective they are in relation to their side effects. And they found that they really haven't been shown to be effective. And so what the Food and Drug Administration is telling these marketers of these medications and doctors are, until more studies are done in kids and infants specifically, that it should not be used in kids definitely under 2 years of age, and as well as under 6 years of age is now what they've recommended, which has been a guideline that has been accepted by the American Academy of Pediatrics as well.
Okay, so for your kids, when they get a runny nose and a cough, do you give them any of these medications?
For my children, I do not, and as far as what I would recommend to my patients, no. If they're under two, definitely not. If they're over two, I would recommend against its use because it really hasn't been shown to be effective. and there are some potential side effects. Now, I know that as a pediatrician, parents always want something for their kids, and I can understand that. But at the same time, you have to kind of educate them on what the risks and the benefits are of some of these medications. And certainly some parents still want it, and I think there are a lot of pediatricians out there that give these medications mostly to treat parents and not necessarily to treat the patients themselves. So I would strongly urge parents as well as pediatricians to not prescribe it in kids under 2 and be very careful in prescribing it under the age of 6, because that's really the guideline that's been set by the advisors of the Food and Drug Administration as well as by the American Academy of Pediatrics.
What do you tell parents then that are up all night with their small child who's just sucking snot and can't breathe? Now the parents are awake. Is there anything you can do to help that kid get better rest at night?
Sure, there are supportive measures that you can do. One of the most effective measures that a lot of parents don't use or maybe are not familiar with is nasal saline drops with bulb suctioning in small infants. That really works well. If you go to the store and get some over-the-counter ocean spray or any sort of nasal saline drops, you stick a couple of drops into one of their nostrils. You wait a few minutes to let it dissolve some of the mucus in their nose, and then you give it one or two good sucks with a bulb suction that you can get in any store or any hospital. And you repeat the same on the other side, and that really does a good job in clearing up the secretions in the nose, at least temporarily, so they're able to feed or they're able to get a little bit of rest. That would be the number one recommendation that I would give to parents. Certainly there are other medications that will help in times of cold and congestion, the main one just being pain reducers or fever reducers such as Tylenol or children's Motrin. But other than that, these other medications, whether it's Dimetapp or Tylenol cold and cough medications, all of these contain medications that your child probably doesn't need, because they contain, most of these cold and cough medications contain basically 3 ingredients. One for an antihistamine, which is kind of against allergies. So if your child doesn't really have allergies, they probably don't need that. There's one against cough, and then there's one that kind of helps to expectorate your sputum. There's also potentially one component for congestion, or what they call a decongestant. Now, unless your child has all of these things associated with a cough and cold, they don't really need all those components. If they just have a cough, all you really might need is something for the cough. And if that's the case, you don't really need something for congestion and something for fevers if you don't really have that in your child.
What about home remedies? You know, I hear people saying that honey, for example, works real well for kids with a cough, and there's even a paper out that was talking about that as a possibility.
I think those are all interesting remedies, and I'm sure they've historically or culturally they've been shown to have some effect, but I think that their usefulness is unproven. You could use that, and if you feel like it works, then I would say to do it. I don't think there's any downside in trying those remedies, because they are essentially safe. They're organic, or honey is organic, or they're food products, or salt gargles, and that sort of a thing. But we're talking about medications that could potentially alter your child's behavior, make them drowsy, have some difficulty with breathing. And so I would say that with these home remedies, certainly they're worth a try. I don't know if they're effective, but certainly these other medications that have real side effects haven't been shown to be any more effective than some of these home remedies. So I would say that the home remedies are worth a shot if it will make you or your spouse or your parents that are helping you to take care of your child feel better about that. They actually feel like they're doing something for their child. I think it's worth a shot. I don't think there's any real downside in some of these home remedies, but I would be real careful about ones that actually contain any sort of active ingredients or medications.
Now, I find with my kids that a humidifier works really well, especially if they're coughing at night. Now, I've never gone the extra step and put in the mentholatum or any of those type of preparations. What do you recommend to parents regarding either using a humidifier or putting additional stuff inside it?
I'm not a big fan of the additional additives into the humidifier. Certainly, a humidifier can be helpful. If you do decide to use a humidifier, I would go with a cool mist humidifier and not a hot or warm mist humidifier, because a hot mist, potentially the thermal energy of that, can burn a child. So I would recommend a coolness humidifier. And as far as the additives go, also very, it's all somewhat folklore as far as these additives go. These mentholatum products, if you take those individually, those products are actually can be pretty harmful to kids if they're ingested. So if they're inhaled, I don't really know. There's been no studies that have shown that they've been effective in children as far as I know. And certainly there are some side effects of having a medication around that your child can potentially ingest, because those mentholatum products do have some active ingredients that could be dangerous if taken in large amounts.
All right, so the bottom line is we just kind of got to suck it up, and when our kids are sick, we're not going to get the same amount of sleep we get if they were well, and neither are they.
Correct. There are instances where medications are helpful. I tell patients and parents that if their child has a cough or cold, for me, there's only two instances where I would really give medications for, say, a cough. One would be if they are coughing so much that they're vomiting, or they're coughing so much that they're unable to sleep or get rest. In that case, I would potentially recommend a cough medication. And the cough medication that I would prescribe is not any of these over-the-counter medications like dextromethorphan. I would actually prescribe probably the best anti-cough medication that's out there, and that's codeine, or a narcotic derivative. Now, that is a prescription-only medication, and that does cause drowsiness and some constipation. But if you do have to give a medication for cough over the age of 2, I would probably recommend a medication like codeine if your child is having some problems sleeping or having problems eating or vomiting. Other than that, I think your child and you really do kind of have to suck it up. They will get better. It's just a matter of time, and I think using bulb suctioning with saline drops is very helpful. Using some pain reducers, which are very safe, is also helpful. And occasionally using something for cough, if your child really needs it, is okay. But other than that, I think it's just kind of a wait and see and kind of suffer through the illness sort of an issue.
Thanks, Dr. Kwan, for your time and insight on this matter. And I'm sure we'll be calling on you again for other pediatric issues. And for my listeners, please be sure to sign up for the feed at our website, jim.md. And that way you won't miss any of our episodes. Until next time, gotta run. Take care.
You've been listening to a podcast by Dr. Jim Keeney. You can hear more at www.jim.md.
Subscribe to my podcast now.
Don't miss another episode.